This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharitz Abdullah and Wong Shaoning. It is 7.06 in the morning, Monday the 26th of August. And last Friday in the US, markets closed squarely in the red on the back of escalating trade tensions. US President Donald Trump ordered that US manufacturers find alternatives to operations in China. And all of this news sent the Dow plunging a whopping 2.4%, the S&P 500 down 2.6% and the Nasdaq down 3%.
Big numbers in the US. However, in the Asian side of things, things move much slower, as much smaller in that sense. Everybody is a mix. Ending on Friday, saw Nikkei up 0.4%, Shanghai Composite up 0.5%, Hang Seng 0.5%, and KLCI up 0.4%. The only losers are South Korea and Singapore, 0.1%, 0.6% respectively.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they open today, because there seems to be this flip-flopping, especially in America, with regards to President Trump, whether there should be tariffs, there shouldn't be tariffs, and his pronouncement that US companies should move out of China. I don't even know whether he can do that.
It's not easy, isn't it?
No, I mean, they are companies, right?
It's much easier said than done.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is going to be very interesting. And this morning, for more insights into global markets, we have with us on the line Stephen Innes, Managing Partner at Vanguard Markets. Thank you for joining us, Stephen. So last Friday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell spoke at Jackson Hole, saying the Fed will act as appropriate to sustain expansion, a phrase he has used before. What's your read on his remarks?
I think overall the Feds came across, or at least Jay Powell came across, as dovish. I think relative anyway to the markets, low of our expectations, just mostly because it allows the markets to continue debating prospects of a 50 basis point cut in September. However, after this latest Twitter storm by President Trump, there's a growing chorus amongst traders that this testy period of trade war escalation, the destination for U.S. rates is zero. So this is opening up a whole new can of worms. There's more people buying into the Feds now on the race to zero. So regardless of what the Feds are saying, the market's pricing in a very, very dovish outlook for Fed policy moving into 2020.
And Stephen, during the closing session, the governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia, Philip Lowe, cautioned that central bankers have a limited arsenal to cushion the global economy from headwinds. Is anyone likely to take heed?
I think so. I think that's just a common issue that the market's currently dealing with right now, obviously, with a lot of G10 central banks pretty close to that zero-bound area. It's pretty difficult to drop interest rates further and have them effectively stimulate the economy. So what this has the market leaning towards is one of a few things. One is additional QE using unconventional policies, not ruling out more fiscal policy. You've seen Germany suggest that they may dip into their budgetary basket and actually run a deficit. This is not being ruled out. Fiscal policies are not being ruled out in other countries. So neither is the fact of helicopter money. This is being bandied around in ECB circles and also in other central bank circles. So I think global central banks are starting to get a little bit more creative than just looking to use traditional monetary policy tools.
Stephen, just the question is that all this that you suggested, helicopter money, additional QE measures, more fiscal policy, was all done by the Japanese government in the last 20 years with little effect. So how effective will it be this time?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. The Japanese effication of the markets, as people refer to it, has been quite telling. One of the things here, when policy is done on a coordinated basis, in other words, every central bank does it, at the same time, it usually will have a more impactful event than, say, somebody doing it one-off. So I'm not fully convinced that central banks can do it alone. I really believe that they're going to need some fiscal policy backing. And you've even seen President Trump come out and even throw trial balloons around more tax cuts. I think this is where it's going to have to come from. I think, you know, it's going to be difficult to change the theme as far as manufacturing numbers go very quickly. But I think you can buffer the economies through consumption side. And this really is offering lower interest rates to consumers. And that can buy some time. You know, I'm not saying that it's going to be able to turn things around, but it'll buy more time for both the U.S. and China, hopefully, to come to terms on some type of trade agreement, although that's looking pretty unlikely today.
And speaking of President Trump, Stephen, at the ongoing G7 meeting, he said he appeared to have tariff remorse when asked if he had any regrets escalating the trade war on Friday. And later, this was clarified that there should be more tariffs. So does this affect your assessment on how likely a truce might be? Or is this the president worrying about his re-election chances?
Yeah, I was very confused by that headline when it came out. But, you know, I was sort of thinking that, you know, okay, maybe Trump's walking it back a little bit, but he hasn't done that lately. So I was very confused. Really, what that G7 really devolved into sort of a bemusing tableau. I'm not really putting much weight into it. If anything, it appears that he's doubled down. But the market positioning from Friday's close is so bearish that I'm not sure whether we're going to see a further extension on this bearishness this morning without a more convincing escalation from both sides. You know, we're really in the muck here. You know, we've got dollar yen trading below 105. We've got gold racing higher up to 1,530. So, you know, markets are really positioned for more doom and gloom. So I think, you know, we have to respect market pricing, but we also have to sort of pull things in a little bit and try to see if cooler heads are going to prevail as we move through this week.
And Stephen, on U.S. dollar, you know, U.S. dollar was a casualty on the G7 meeting as President Trump tweeted his complaint against its strength. Now, does this make forex intervention by the U.S. Treasury a possibility? And what does this mean for other currencies?
Yeah, it's more likely. But if we look at the market's reaction on Friday, I think it was very telling that the euro-U.S. dollar rally, for instance, fizzled out just pretty close to where we're opening up today, between 1150 and 1160. It's hardly the volatility that one would expect if the market's base case was really pre-positioning for a full-out currency war. Now, I think it remains an option, okay, but I think we're not at that level right now. I think, for instance, the euro would have to be closer to 105 level, and I think the yuan, in my view anyway, would probably have to trade closer to the 740 level. Here's a few things that we're looking at and if it does escalate. One, besides a triple shot of Fed easing, which is starting to look more likely for 2019, this will effectively weaken the U.S. dollar. But if we do have an escalation, especially if the U.S. wants to strengthen the yuan, now, U.S. Treasury, although it's going to be a very distasteful kind of measure, they could simply buy Chinese government debt. Although, of course, the distasteful element here is it'll be funding President Xi's BNR ambition. Nonetheless, it's a logical move because it's going to sterilize the effect of China potentially selling U.S. Treasuries while effectively strengthening the yuan. So these are signals we're looking at, not so much overt intervention, but will the U.S. Treasury start to buy foreign bonds? That's the first thing we're going to be looking at.
Thank you so much, Stephen. And that was Stephen Innes of Vanguard Markets telling us what his thoughts on the likelihood of forex intervention by the U.S. Treasury, as well as earlier some of the methods that central bankers may have as an alternative to traditional QE. Right. So he mentioned a few policies like helicopter money, for example.
Yeah, I think his point was very valid that if countries wanted additional QE measures, more fiscal policies, helicopter money, they needed to do it in a coordinated manner rather than just like what Japan did, which was the only country doing it.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't much positive effect from it. So it looks like central bankers are probably going to take heed of this and do, you know, cut rates simultaneously and spend money.
Yeah. So I think that's what's been sort of happening at the moment, is just how far we will go in the next few months as
well. We haven't really seen governments spend money aggressively across the region, whether it is US or whether it's Europe. I think they have no choice because we're in this decade of ultra-low rates, right? And the economy seems to be grinding almost to a halt.
Yeah, racing to the bottom at this point. But speaking of Europe, at the G7 meetings in France yesterday, there was also some news about Brexit, because British Prime Minister Boris Johnson insisted that should the UK leave the EU without a deal, it's not going to be paying the divorce bill of about £39 billion. This was something that was previously agreed upon by Theresa May, because the UK does pledge contributions towards the EU budget, but they've not made good on it.
So you did say that the chances of a deal were improving, but we're still far from any certainties on this front. Mr. Johnson, he's seeking to renegotiate the Brexit deal by removing the backstop intended to prevent the return of a hard Irish border. Nevertheless, he seems set on leaving EU on the 31st of October with or without a deal.
Meanwhile, in Jackson Hole, central bankers had their annual policy meeting at, and during that meeting, the Fed Vice Chairman, Richard Clarida, said that the U.S. economy is in a good place, but that the global outlook has worsened and that the Feds will take its policy decision one meeting at a time. Now, meanwhile, Governor to the Bank of England, Mark Carney, said that Brexit without a transition agreement could prompt the Bank of England to loosen its monetary policy.
Yeah, so he's also spelled out a proposal for a global financial system that would eventually use some form of a global digital currency as a reserve currency instead of the dollar. And also, as we discussed with Stephen Innes, Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe cautioned the audience that central banks do have a limited ability to cushion this global economy from headwinds. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.